Good ways.
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 Welcome. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Good Ways podcast, mod made podcast for everything Black Life. I'm here with Lex and Jordan. We'll get to introductions shortly. But before we begin, just wanted to pay our respects to the Gamaragal people, the whose lands we're on today, past, present.
Don't say emerging.
None of that emerging business. as you can tell, we've started a podcast, but we're not middle-aged white men, so it's all right. Before we get into proper introductions, just wanted to hear from Lex and Jodes. Good Ways podcast. What is it about?
Good Ways.
What is Good Ways?
Good Ways. It's a bit of a slangy term that you sort of get away with everything if you say Good Ways, eh? You can, it's just so versatile. You can run people down and then you can say Good Ways at the end of it, or say something real snide and go Good Ways. Like I can say, Joan, I love your moustache. Like, oh, Good Ways, you know. Lex, what do you reckon?
I reckon the podcast is just us having a laugh, getting together, you know, being positive, just, yeah, having a yarn and, like, talking about stuff that's not, you know, news. It's not political. It's just having a good laugh, Good Ways.
And just something that's fun too, Good Ways. Mob see that and they're like, yeah, that's a mob podcast, having fun. Look, you know, and it's pretty appropriate. Couldn't call it His Hole or anything like that.
Why not?
Probably a bit too far for some fellas out there.
Beautiful. So this first episode, we're going to be talking about all things growing up black. We're the experts. We've grown up black. going to be yarning about things, all things school, work, family. But before we get into it, let's intro ourselves. You know, our audience hasn't necessarily seen a lot of us. Maybe Jordan used to present here at NITV. But, yeah, what's your name, who your mob, where you from? Jodes?
Yeah, Jordan Perry. So my family is Warramai Wiradjuri. So all my Warramai family, my grandmother's family, they're from Crewa, just north of Newcastle there, 45 minutes. Home of those real, real lovely oysters there on the river, brother. If you haven't had a couple, I'll sling you a couple ones when you come up. But my grandfather's family there were Wiradjuri mob from Kiara, but they moved in the 70s following the land rights movement. They moved to Redfern. So dad and all that grew up in Redfern and went back and forwards, Crewe and Redfern and that, following around the marches and stuff. But I was born in Newcastle, born in Mayfield. And I grew up in Newcastle and I just went from Newcastle and Crewe, always growing up. We're going to talk about a little bit more in depth in a sec, but yeah, look, I'm here at NITV, been here 5 years, head of digital, brought you two fellas along for the ride here, and we're just doing some creative things and have a lot of fun, because that's who we are as people, eh, Lex?
Yeah, Alexis Morin, you know, my mobs are Waka Waka and Ewan, also got family ties to Dungari and Mirapai as well. I'm based up in Brisbane at the moment, but I'm from Sydney, born in Sydney. I'm the digital content lead at NITV, looking after digital and social sort of stuff. But, keen to get into a bit more, you know, family history and a bit more about us and what we do, yeah.
What about you, Unk?
Unk? I don't know if you call me Unk, not yet. So Jonah Johnson, family's Wiradjuri from, on my mum's side, from, Griffith there, three ways mission, but followed that all the way back to Warren Gesda. So before Three Ways was Frogs Hollow, before Frogs Hollow was Warren Gesda. So that's where mum's family's from. Mum's also on her dad's side, Yorta Yorta, as well, from Echuca. I don't claim that too often because I don't have too much of a connection.
Just be respectful.
Yeah. Like, I always imagine it as, like, you know, if you were presenting to or talking to a big group of people and there was someone Yorta Yorta or whose mob you're claiming, would you be able to tell them your connection, who their grandfathers and stuff? I am, but, you know, I just didn't sort of grow up that connected to that side. And then on dad's side as well, Japanese. So my grandfather's from Japan. My dad was born in Japan. That's why I'm so lovely.
Beautiful culture, Japanese culture.
And yeah, also dad, my grandfather on my dad's side, as a blackfellow as well, but was when he was younger, split up from his family, from down Cobar, Ningen, and we've never really connected to that side. So, you know, one side I'm really strong in, you know, Radri and who I am, other side, you know, still on that sort of journey with it. So, you know, and then you throw Japan in the mix and it's a bit of fun with it.
Good mix, bro.
Yeah.
We both got that Asian connection because my great-great-grandfather, his name was Yan Ping, and he was Chinese. He was Chinese, but he lived in Okinawa, Japan, where the Karate Kid 2 was. Remember that there? that's Okinawa. That's how I know Okinawa there.
But yeah, and then I'm the social platforms lead. You might have seen me on TikTok and all that already, and Lex as well, and a few of our team members who are going to be on the podcast as well. But yeah, just, you know, Good Ways is a, you know, opportunity for us to, you know, talk about nuances of identity that you don't really see out there, you know, that's represented, you know, in, you know, in the media really, and, you know, in popular culture and stuff as well. But to kick us off, Jodes, Karua, what's that like? I heard it's pretty rough there.
It's right, mate. It's right. Just all lovely fellas there. Mate, small, pretty quiet town. Now they put that big highway in the bypass because everyone used to cruise through there, and the oyster farming was Burko, and, you know, they had a lot of tourism there, but just a quiet town, mate. It's just all the family and the community, Karua Aboriginal community. It's like, you know, 200 metres off the main road. Probably, you know, 25 houses. It's not a very big mish. Pretty quiet. Got my grandmother still up there. She's 90, Colleen Perry, love her. And her and my auntie live two houses away. So, you know, we spent some good times over the years. We'll go into that further. But, I mean, you know, growing up back in the day, they had nothing up there. You know, my nan was born in a bar cart, you know, when she had the kids. Dad and that, houses with dirt floors, tin umpies and that up there, you know, before they started getting the good weatherboard houses, which is when I used to go up there. But, mate, it's just quiet, you know, pretty intimate, and it's just a real special place, man, you know. I'll get into it further, but, I mean, you know, obviously a lot of tough times and things happened for the mish too. Like, when Dad was young, he had a lot of bad things happen up there that he had to experience. So, you know, he went out and got an education just so he could move off the mish and try and have a bit of a better life, as, you know, as much as he loves his connection there and, you know, the mob. We still go up there all the time, you know. He wanted to have kids and maybe just get him away and see what else could happen if he had a life in the city, you know. So, yeah, we'll talk about it a bit more. We've got plenty of cruel yarns to talk about.
what about going to school, Lex? Where'd you grow up? Where'd you go to school? What was that experience sort of like for you?
Went to school in Sydney. All of my family's based out in Western Sydney, but similar sort of situation with Jordan. Like, my mum decided to leave Western Sydney and moved, you know, to the north side. You know, and so she kind of just wanted a better life for us and to get away from, you know, bad influence and that kind of thing. So, I went to Mossman High, which didn't have a uniform. It was a very artsy sort of school, so that was really mad. But, I kind of knew what it was like to go to school being the only black kid, and then it wasn't until I got to high school where there was one other black girl, who's Maddie Norris, who we all know, who works at NITV. I was a bit isolated, you know, being on my own and not, like, having everyone come to you for questions around, you know, Indigenous identity and things like that. But
you're the expert when you're like 12, eh?
Yeah, you know, you speak on behalf of your whole race sort of thing. So interesting growing up. But, definitely, you know, privileged and thankful that my mum, you know, did that. And, you know, I got to go to uni because of that. And, better outcome.
Was it a cruisy experience, though, being one out? I mean, like, over that way there, like, you know, obviously affluent, you know, population over there, and a lot of people probably just don't know much about black fellas that you went to school with. Was it all right, or was it tough?
No, it was fine, you know, and I think it's because a lot of people just don't know that, then they don't come with that kind of, you know, ignorance, like they're kind of willing to learn on that side of things. Yeah, like that, and I guess that's why they had questions, but obviously it gets annoying when they think that you're the spokesperson for everyone, but yeah.
Did you, for a lot of the people you went to school with, were you the first black fella that they'd met?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I'm similar as well. I went to boarding school in high school. And yeah, I remember boarding school. Scholarship, big brain. Yep.
big head.
Yeah. But yeah, I remember like one of the first recesses we had, like, you know, I was homesick. I didn't really want to be there. And then you got kids coming up to you going, fuck, like, you're the first black fella I've ever met. And I've gone, what the fuck? You know, and that was over in the North Shore as well. But, you know, even like I'm in primary school, I was one of the only black fellas there as well. Like, I think I learned how to sort of like fit in then. So, you know, going to high school, you know, it was pretty easy being around, you know, white fellas. You know, white fellas that had money and stuff as well, and you had to fit in. But yeah, it was just a spin out going like being the first black person that they've ever seen and spoken to.
Yeah.
Tricky. Right. I just remembered a tricky story then when you said, oh, my first recess and all that. It brought back a memory. It's not like a black story, but I remember me, like, I was real upset when I first went to school, eh? And my young girl went to school this year and she was fine. She just straight in. But I was that attached to mum and dad. And I used to make dad like walk me in every day and I didn't want him going home. But I don't know, I just remembered this. The first recess I had, I remember that I went out and had my lunch and mum packed me lunch there and she packed me a little snack and I ate my little snack. And bruh, this is going to freak out. When I finished it and it was time to put it in a bin, I felt sad because that was my little snack, bruh. And I was there real emotional and it chucked it away.
This was your dad to give it to you.
Mine as well. Freaky, eh?
Get emotion about the snacks. That's my gamer tag.
I haven't remembered that for a while. It was tricky. Yeah, but now where'd I go? In Newcastle, I went to I grew up in Hamilton area around till it was about year six or so when we moved over to New Lambton, so I went to Hamilton Public, then Lambton High. But not many black fellas in the public school. A few Islander kids I used to get along with. Like, everyone used to think I was Islander growing up.
Mm.
They thought I was Islander, then they just thought I was Chinese. But I remember in primary school, my cousin came to school, my sister, and she was a few years older than me, and like she's, you know, very, very dark complexion. And everyone used to love her. They used to freak out on her because she's just real black and just so vibrant and full of life. And I still remember I used to have like the white girls that are in her class. They used to come up to me and they used to sook around because other girls were hogging her and they couldn't play with her. She was deadly. So they loved having black fella around because it was just so much different than what I used to. Yeah, that was tricky. But in high school, man, we didn't have didn't have many black fellas. We had a few here and there and we used to connect and used to find them straight away. Met a real good mate in about year 11. He came to high school for footy. He played with the Knights, named Brad. And we just beeline for each other and, like, you know, looked at each other across the quad and I looked at him and he was just there like, and I was like, yeah, bruh. Mate straight away, you know?
Yeah.
So,
was there anything, Lex, that, you know, in terms of, you know, identity, like for me, like going, you know, going to primary school, going to high school, with mainly white fellas, like there were certain things, like my one of my favorite bands in primary school was Fall Out Boy. but you know, I'd go home to mum and like, you know, be with all my cousins and, you know, they'd be going, what is this white shit? Like, you know, and I'd be like, oh yeah, no, this is Gavin. Like, only joking, you know. do you remember any like instances when, you know, you had to make, not that you had to make those clear distinctions, but there was a time when you were like, oh, okay, this is, I should act this way in this environment. I should act, you know, another way in another environment.
Honestly, not really. Hey, it was more of like, I was really strong in my identity. And I think that comes from being raised by a single black woman that, you know, a long line of single black women, that you're just strong in who you are and you're not really going to change. And I think I kind of felt like I brought my identity and I was kind of showing everyone else, you know, what, not culture, but what, you know, it's like to be an Aboriginal person sort of thing. Like, my music taste was different. My style was different. Like, movies that I watched were different. Everything was so different. The way I grew up was different. Like, came from a lot poorer background than, you know, my friends were at school. So I think I got to teach them a lot, actually. And I just, yeah, like I didn't want to conform sort of thing. Like I only knew how to be black and that was it. Like I wasn't there to kind of change how I talk or do anything. But yeah, I think you just had to learn to like fit in and kind of play the system a bit and yeah, just make the most of the opportunities that are given to you, I think.
What movies were you watching back then? What was the different
movies? My brother used to make me, he used to always make me, I'm the youngest of like three siblings, so he's like 7 years older than me. And he'd be like a teenager. I'd be like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7. And he'd like, we'd watch scary movies together, like yeah. Chainsaw Massacre, like yeah. All the, like traumatizing. So all of that stuff I was like really into, but all the black stuff, like Friday, yeah. All of those, yeah.
Boys in the Hood, eh?
What? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How come you reckon Friday is like a mob, like anyone you speak to, it's like a mob movie.
They're just so crazy. They're just so kicked back and they just talk shit.
That's I think they just have the same humour as us, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So that like, happy-go-lucky, you know?
Yeah.
Spinning yarns, I reckon. I sort of know what you're saying before, Jane, about school. Now, like, I was never any different. Like, at school, I was just always myself, the same everywhere. But I didn't have that feeling of being completely at home. Like, as soon as... like what you know, not the whole walking in worlds two thing or whatever they say, but you know, at school I was just myself and anywhere I was. But then as soon as I went out the mish with all the cousins, it was just like, I'm home now, you know, like just that everything's completely relaxed, you're not, there's no stress or nothing like that, like that's how I felt. And oh, I just love going out the mish, man, because just used to go out the cousins and just swear. Like at home you'd be swearing around and mum and dad just pulled me up, you go out the mish and eh, you'd be like, yeah, you know, just letting rip, and all the uncles and aunties there to let you go. Nan was the worst swear out of all of them. You don't know what she says, man.
Yeah, no, because, you know, grew up in Sydney, like, my dad at the time, he was living in Coogee, and mum, we moved everywhere with mum. I've probably been in, like, every electorate in Sydney. But, yeah, we go back to Griffith, like, in, you know, school break or Chrissy and stuff like that, you know, and then... that's when like I'd hang around, like, because I was the youngest of all my cousins, and I got an older brother and stuff. And yeah, going back to the mission, mum going, no, don't hang out with them. Like, you can't, like, don't be hanging around them. They're too bad. And then, like, you know, on the sly, going and hanging out with them, like,
yeah.
ripping around on like the motorbikes and stuff. And mum going, no, you gotta hurt yourself.
Oh.
But yeah, like going back to Griffith was like I used to love it. Now a bit different. But when you're a kid, you know, hanging around all of them, you know, it's different. Yeah. And I miss that. I miss what it was like. You know, when you're a kid.
Golden days on the mission in that, eh? I think we're gonna talk about that soon. I think right at school, brother, you went to boarding school. You would have been a good little boy, eh?
Yeah, I was a little bit of a good boy. I was on a scholarship there, so, you know, I thought better be good. But in my later years, I did take up smoking.
Yeah.
Okay. So we used to go up to the fields. I used to go up to the fields and have a smoke between study periods and that. But that was as cheeky as I got. That was it. That was stress relief. That was a coping mechanism.
Did you get caught smoking?
I did, but the teachers didn't really care. But boarding masters were like, yeah, okay, cool. If that's the worst he's got to do, then sweet.
Right, I got caught smoking in year seven, and then I ran away from home for 3 hours. Ran to my auntie's house. I didn't want to face mum and dad. Wasn't even smoking too, just, you know, bum puff there, just nothing.
Yeah.
But just big note in myself. What about you, Lex? Were you Ducks of Mosman High or what?
Yeah, for sure.
No, I only wagged a couple of times, but I was pretty good. That was good. I only ran away from home once, but it was fun. It was only overnight.
What happened?
I was with my cousin. I don't know where we went because she lives at Chester Hill at Villawood. I don't know if you know where the detention centre is that way.
Yeah.
And we used to always like jump trains and like go to like Parramatta or like Liverpool Shopping Centre. I think it was, you know, big noters. And I think we just did that one day, and I was like, told my mum I was staying at hers. She told her mum she was staying at mine. Thinking that they wouldn't know. They obviously rang each other and figured it out. Yeah, that was the last time I did it then.
That's pretty red hot. Like, I thought you were going to say, like, oh, no, I like, ran away for, like, 2 minutes and came back like I did. But
That's not bad.
could have been worse.
Young and getting around Chester Hill, Para, by yourself.
Cruising, hey.
Hey.
Spending up. No, a similar Lexi. I used to ride my bike to school. So it was close enough. But what I used to do is I'd time it close to when mum and dad were leaving for work. So I'd ride just before they left and I'd ride slow and I'd see them. They go past in the car, beep the horn. I'd be like, yeah. As soon as they were gone, I'd just turn straight around, go straight home, eat my lunch straight away, just lay up playing Super Nintendo, you know, just cruising there. But
you wouldn't eat the food at home because you think you're going to get caught?
Yeah, because mum would know.
No traces.
Nah, but I was a little arsehole at school, eh?
Yeah.
Just,
oh, I can imagine.
Mate, every single report card was just like, he's got so much potential, but he's too worried about being the class clown. But, you know.
Look at you now.
turned a bit around, but we used to get to the classroom, the old school classroom, the blackboard and all that. We used to all get there early and get the duster and dust him right up with the chalk, wait for people to walk in the door and oos. Used to be duster fights, man. That was the best.
You're that old. I had like smart boards when I was in primary school.
Oh, true. Yeah, nah. Mate, I'm 40 in a few years. That's a shame. Go on then, move on to the next one then. Fossil fella, here.
Yeah, go on then, mate. What about feeds? We'll start off with what's your go-to feed? Like, what's your go-to blackfella feed? What is a blackfella feed, first of all?
Curry.
Made with love, man. Something made with love passed through the generations. That's what I say.
Go on, give us a recipe then.
Well, Lex, what did you say, Lex? Curry?
Yeah, always. Chicken, coconut, Keynes, curry.
Yeah, no, CCC. CCC's a big request in my house.
Nah, 100%.
I'm mad curry. 100%. Curry's the big one. Yeah, it was a bit different because, you know, you get all the Murrays and all that up north. They make a bit different. They got the John C and all that. But curry was a big one. My aunties and nens, you know, big pot there, chicken legs and all in it, waiting all day for it. Mm. Mainly that. But something I really associate would be like my nan making a Christmas pudding. I always still ask for it, syrup pudding. And she makes it in the old pillowcase, bruh.
Squashes it
down the pillowcase and balls it right up. It comes out that same big teardrop shape.
Shit.
Yeah, it's lovely, man. Because she doesn't make it for my other cousins. She tells them to piss off. But she makes it for me if I ask her. So what happens is around Christmas, I get all my cousins ringing me. It's like, is then make your pudding? And I'm like, well, maybe. What are you going to do for me? Because they're like, well, send some in for me too.
Jada's the pudding connect.
Yeah. I'm captain of the pudding, man.
Captain Pud.
That's a big one for me. Yeah. That's Pud Man. Yeah.
Captain Pud Man. I reckon like curry's a big one.
Yeah.
But this might be a bit controversial. I only like my mum's curry.
Yeah.
I've eaten other people's curry, like just the chicken, potato, carrot.
Yeah.
Keynes curry with the coconut cream, and mum's is the best.
What's she do that's different?
Don't know.
You haven't asked that?
I've watched her make it. I've eaten other people's and been like,
You should try mine.
Mm.
cook all the onions and the chicken up, let them simmer in soy sauce for a little while, bruh, first.
But I don't know what it is. It's probably, you know, nostalgia and I don't know. I don't fuck with anyone else's chicken curry.
Nothing better than mum's cooking, though.
Yeah.
And grandma's cooking. Like I always hated veggies, but Nan just used to make mad veggies, cook them in like heaps of salt water or something. I don't know. But they used to be real lovely, beans and peas and all that.
Yeah, hard.
What do you got, Lex? Got anything else they used to make you?
No, all the same. Similar. Like my nan was always in charge of like Christmas desserts and she always does a trifle like every year. And Christmas just gone past. She put way too much like brandy in it, but everyone was just like just stung by the fucking alcohol in it. As soon as we all had you know one mouthful, we're like, oh man, you just went a bit too hard there.
She's like, no, this is lovely.
So after you ate the whole thing, what happened?
Yeah, a bit tipsy after.
Went down the RSL.
What about any freaky feeds? Because obviously you got family out the mist. Sometimes they, you know, can sneak a bit of wildlife. I'll tell you one, I was driving with my first girlfriend and I was about, 17. And I was driving my cousin home to Crewa and we're just cruising. It's like a little windy road before you get the mish. It's only about like 250 metres. But anyway, I'm just cruising and he goes, stop the car, stop the car. And I was like, what? And my cousin, big cousin, jumps out, big fella too, bigger than me, runs straight in the bush, eh? And I was just like, what's going on here? Anyway, he comes back there holding something. It's a porcupine. Oh, and he went and caught, he saw it scurrying, and he went and caught it. And he goes, yeah, and he slapped it in the seat, and I was just like, tricky. Anyway, he went back to Nen's house, hey, and Nen's like, oh, lovely chucky beer, biggest stew. Didn't have any, though.
What, you never tried it?
Nah.
Never?
Nah. I don't mind some game meats. Now, like, I love my roux and all that, man, but one time I had emu, and I reckon it was a bit dusty, and it put me off going to gamey.
Yeah, I'm a bit the same. I reckon, like, unless you grew up, like, eating it, I went to Broome and had Barney, like goanna.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And you know they love it there. Like we went out and caught it and stuff. I wasn't the biggest fan. Just the texture,
Didn't taste the big tail.
Oh, we had the tail, but it was like the way that. So there's like fat sacks around the spine, and then there's the meat.
That doesn't sound. And then
you like cook it in the underground oven, put the embers and shit on top. But then it gets left out for a little bit, and then the fat just solidifies, like, the tiniest bit. And you have it with, like, the maddest, like, chili and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the fat was, like, grainy and, like... You know when you get, like, a young banana? It was kind of like...
Young banana? A green banana?
Yeah, a green banana. It was just, like, ugh. Yeah.
Yeah, nah. I tried it years ago, because I remember we were up camping one time, and my uncle saw one on the tree, and he went and lifted it with a big boomerang. But I think I had one taste. I didn't like it. But me and the cousins just used to fight over the all the talons, the nails, little necklace and all that, you know?
Yeah. That was like Griffith is like yabbies. We'd go yabby and stuff. But I don't like yabbies either.
Nah.
Maybe I'm a bit of a snob.
You haven't had heaps of them, like you said.
But like we used to do like... Oh, because I was a chubby little kid. Like I was a big kid.
Yeah.
And like I used to do Worcestershire sauce and white bread.
Yeah.
And I thought that was like a really common thing. And then went over to a friend's house and it's like, you got any Worcestershire sauce? He's like, oh yeah. And I just started making it and the mum came down and was like, what the fuck are you doing?
What feeds then when you're a bit low on scratch there, Lex? Any of them feeds?
My because there were so many of us grandkids that would just hang out at Nan's house. She didn't have that much food for us, so she'd just cook up rice and we'd just have soy sauce on it.
That's
and
what that was feed.
It. It was like, we ain't got no food. That's it. That's what you got.
And then for dessert, just brown sugar on top.
Legit. Yeah.
Well, that's a nice feed, though. You can eat sauce on rice any day, I reckon. Yeah. I used to go out in Nan's house, eh? And I wouldn't eat breakfast in the morning because it was powder milk there back in the day. And Nan wouldn't let all the other kids, because she used to have all her family's kids there. She used to look after them all the time and raise them. But, they'd all have the powder milk. I'd wait till they all go out. I'm like, Nan, where's your milk at there? She'd hide it in another fridge, eh? There you go. No one Wheat Bix and powder milk, brother. Pass that, eh?
What's it? Do you have a yarn from back in the day when you're getting up to a bit of mischief with you and your cousins or, you know, just growing up back in Karura or Lex? I mean, you've told us what you do, little naughty. any good yarns about getting around?
Yeah, heaps, man. Where do I start? Let me think. Some of the fun ones. Oh, like my favourite thing to do for a while at Karua, because when I was a kid, I was just obsessed with throwing things, eh? And sadly, sometimes it would be at people, and now my daughter does it to me. But anyway, we used to go out... like out the back road at Crewa, the dirt road that leads out the bush to the side, it was sort of like old dump, like old burnout cars all together and just where everyone would chuck old scrappy stuff and fridges and all that. Used to just love going out there with the cousins and lining up all the grog bottles and just like having competitions with rocks and smashing them all. That used to be the grouse, bruh. 100.
You'd like that. No, that sounds appealing to me now.
Yeah, you might. Hey. Like just out there talking shit, eh? Just us. Plenty of usses. But in terms of actual mischief, I remember, real young. I was probably under 10. I used to go with my cousin, older girl, their sister. And we used to go down the road and she'd be like, you want a drink or what? I'm like, yeah. So we go down and there'd be a little row of shops there, real old shops. I don't think they're there anymore. They probably all closed down when the bypass came. Can't remember what it even called. I think it was called Webster or something like that. Anyway, she'd run around the back and I'd be like, what's she doing? Didn't even go on the front door and get me a cold drink. I'd be sitting there, and 5 minutes later, you'd hear, hey, 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 hey. And you look up, and she'd be running. She's got a whole carton of like 330ml Coke bottles, glass bottles. She's like, come on then, come on then, come on then. And so we used to rip them off, eh? And we'd go down the riverbank, and there'd be like four of us, and we'd just sit there and drink the whole carton of Coke and get rattled, eh?
Bounce around.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, jump off the bridge. Oh, there's heaps. There's heaps. I'd go on forever. Like, you know, I just used to love it out there. Like all the boys and the girls and the cousins, we just used to... There's like a big, big grassy flat near the old tennis court out there, and just tackle footy, British Bulldogs, and the girls used to lift me, man, back in the day, eh? Like everyone just bodies on the line, man. Everyone was going home crying, eh?
Or for dinner, the knee footy at home, empty knee footy.
They're the good old games, though. That's how like you see some of these NRL players. That's how they learn all the deadly chip and chase and the offloading from all the mission games, man. But no, that was the best. British Bulldogs, I used to love it. But then when it was night time, if you ate your dinner, Nan would let you outside, and we used to play hide and go seek all around her house. So she had a real old house, and there was like a lot of real big trees that you could hide in, and mulberry trees and sheds, and yeah, stuff like that. That was awesome.
What about you, Lex?
Oh, we always used to play knock and run around Chisilda. Not the best place to be doing that now, as you think back on it, eh? But, like, we would be, like, banging on people's doors and then just leg it and then, yeah, run, like, 2-3 kilometres away. But, that and just, like, prank calling people, like, just our other cousins or, like, aunties and uncles, just, like, putting on a fake voice and shit. So, yeah, stuff like that.
Knock and run's a rude game, though. Like, keep making people get up, eh?
Yeah. You just do it, but
laxing up.
Finding out a lot about you today, Lex.
Yeah. Slowly peeling the mask off.
We used to like grow up mostly in the city. You know, one of the youngest cousins, so I used to want to get around with all my older cousins and brothers and stuff. And probably wasn't the best, but we'd go like camper down Oval and hang out like at night. Everyone would sort of get together and like have a drink and stuff. But my brother used to take me around and like teach me how to jump fences. I thought it was the coolest shit ever. I was like, yeah, fuck, I know how to jump a fence. And then he'd teach me how to like, he's like, so what are you going to do if a dog chases you? And he used to run behind me. This is the park across from Maribor Metro with his like hand like behind me. He's like, this is a dog. And he'd run behind me going,
so you meant literal dog?
And then I'd be taking it full serious going, how was that? Like, finished up going, how was that? He's like, yeah, bro, you got it. You're right.
How good's that?
Could
talk all day on this topic.
Oh, 100%.
I was going to ask, what's like just growing up, like, I don't know how poor you guys were, but like just looking back being like, yeah, fuck, that's real black. Well, that's like real poor.
I had dial-up internet in year six. That was like, 2010, 11? I'd go to school with a Walkman.
Discman there or Walkman?
Discman.
Discman there. Hip Machine 10 or Hip Machine?
No. Dad finally got me one of those, when those new iPods came out with the camera on the back of them. Finally got one of those, thought I was the maddest going on. Got about 20 songs on this.
Battery run low there. Everyone wants to have a listen,
Yeah.
Oh, mate, I remember the tape days, eh? Recording all your favourite songs off the radio and all the tape and all that, bless.
One for like your ringtone.
That was tricky. What about like just having a bit of a yarn there about mischief? What about, you got any real great memories when it was just like really beautiful to be growing up as a black fella around the mob? You got a real favourite story like that?
I got a good yarn.
Yeah, go on then.
I got a good yarn. It's a little bit of trauma as well, but like funny trauma.
Go on then.
Funny trauma. So my mum's a dancer. My auntie's a dancer. Mum does traditional dancing. She teaches and stuff as well. Nays back in the day, she was a teacher there. She went there, she was a teacher there. Anyway, we went up to Early Beach for some reason. I don't know why we were there. I was probably like 7 or 8 or something like that. And we met other dancers and shit up there. It was mad. It was just with all my cousins, went up there.
And this one night we had like a big fire and like everyone was just sort of getting up and like dancing and stuff, people playing the guitar and like someone on the didge. And I was sitting there like all wide eyed and like wanting to get involved. And then so everyone starts, all my cousins start jamming up to like do Shake a Leg. And I was like, yeah, like, you know, all inspired. Like, just in this moment, get up and do Shake a Leg. And my Shake a Leg was like out of time. Like one leg was going, it was like that. And I was like, sort of body rocking as well. And then everyone just started laughing at me.
Oh, don't.
But it's something that's like stuck with me when I, cause I, you know, dance with mum and stuff. I still dance. And right before I go to do Shake a Leg, I think about that time in Early Beach. And I'm like, don't fuck up. Yeah. I got to nail my... So my Shake a Leg is like a big thing for me. But
I wish there was vision of that.
Yeah, you won't find it. Nah, but that was like a really fun time I look back on. And you could feel the... Like it was just, you know, so good to be around mob. Like that was like, it was just, you know, that was really intense. You know, feeling, and you know, really fond of those memories.
Where are you, Lex?
Yeah, I mean, whenever I think of like family memories, it's always just me and my siblings, like hanging out with mum. Like we always used to bring the mattress out into the living room and like you know, rent DVDs back in the day, and like we'd watch the same one on repeat before we had to go and take it back and return it and stuff like that. But I remember we used to have those big TVs, like, you know how they were like big behind, like not flat screen?
Yeah.
Like the old school ones. And we didn't have an aerial, so we used to get like our foil paper and wrap it up and may try and make a like aerial out of that.
Just stuff like that.
I remember just hanging out with my brother and sisters and, yeah, that was kind of like what family and then mob was for me, and going to Nan's house like every school holidays.
Yeah. We used to, when I was real young, maybe I was about like 7 or 8, there used to be a lot of cultural camps where they'd get all the uncles and aunties, take all the kids from the mission in a big bus and go here, there and everywhere. The best one we went on is from Cruel. We went all the way up through Queensland, then through Central Australia, went up to Kakadu. Must have went for about, I have to ask mum and dad, it feels like we went for about a month. And it was just so fun because staying at a caravan park and camping every night, you know, and sitting around cooking up feeds. And we'd always play Karate Kid tournament and have muck around fights. And you weren't allowed to hit people in the face. Wow. You know what I mean? Like doing the crane because we still love it. That's really mad. But I guess, I don't know, just Christmas. For me, Christmas was just, Christmas was always at Krua. You know, it'd be mum, it'd be auntie and then aunties, you know, before a lot of people died. There was a lot of people still there. Just cooking up so many feeds and just love and just running around all day. And, you know, in every school holidays, mum and dad would just send me there. I'd stay there for a week or 2 weeks. And then I'd bring my friends up too, the crew. I'd just experience it too. And they'd all love it. You know, they'd love the vibe and how everyone's relaxed. They're the big ones. Like, yeah, I don't have like particular pinpoint stories, but just the vibe that there was back in the day. It's a lot different now. Like, still love going up there. And there's just not as many people there. They've all gone their own way. A lot of people have passed, you know. Your cousins are laid in jail.
Yeah.
But back in the day, it was just so innocent, man. It was just lovely.
Reminiscing.
Good old days. Good old days.
Have you ever seen her?
What's the best way to...
Yeah, go on. Give us your question.
Good ways. Good way.
So this is the question bowl. We've got the question bowl right here. Random questions. We've never seen these before. What we want is for you guys to send in questions and stuff as well. For us to answer, because we're experts at being black.
Something.
Maybe something. So we'll take a little lucky dip.
Go on, brother. Run it home.
A little lucky dip. All right. What's the scariest Burick story Nan used to tell you?
Me or Lex? I can go.
You go first, Jordan.
Let me think. It wasn't so much my nan, it was my cousins. The older cousins used to scare the shit out of you at night because you'd all be laying up in the lounge room, 6 mattresses there. Oh, there's a couple stories. They used to tell me this really vivid one about a couple of my younger cousins, the boys, that one day they got up and they went out to talk to them and they said they were playing with this other boy and there was no boy there.
Like that.
Yeah, right. That was the one that really gripped me up, and it happened out the front of the house. But all the time, like they, when I was young, they used to get you and just say, look, you need to go to sleep now because the hairy man or the prowler will be out the window and he'll watch you. And if you're awake, he's going to get you. That's all he used to say. I was like, oh, Gulaga. Oh.
Is the prowler.
Yeah.
Like, the
prowler man, stuff that, eh?
What about you, Lex? I'm the worst with this shit.
Oh.
I'm the worst with
always
it.
My older cousins as well were trying to like scare the shit out of you. Yeah, same thing. Hairy men. She always used to say, oh, they're out in the bush. They got red eyes and you can't look them dead in the eye or else you get like under a spell or some shit. Just stuff like that she'd try to scare me. She'd be like, yeah, I've seen one in real life, you know. But yeah, other than that, it was always like Waki Man in our house.
Waki Man.
Like our nan, mum, aunties would always try to scare you to go to sleep. Like Waki Man's gonna come get you if you don't fall asleep.
Well, I've experienced it.
Go on then.
Yeah, your yarn's all secondhand. I've survived it. it's not a scary one. This is a good one. Like it was like a. My nan had passed away. My great nan had passed away probably like 2-3 years before this had happened. We were in Griffith for another funeral. We were down on the freeways and had a lot of family over, so we were staying in the living room and just had like, you know, there was like those old roll out mattresses with the steel frames and you just folded it out. We had that and on the couch and stuff, and some family friends and I were like mucking around. It must have been like 1 o'clock or something in the morning, and we just like had the giggles. We just sort of like mucking around in the living room, had the giggles. And then we hear my nan coming down the hall, and, you know, she's quite an older, obviously an older lady, and she used to have these slippers she'd put on before she'd come down, and you could hear the slippers coming down the, it was like, shh, shh, shh,
nah.
Coming down the hallway. And then instinctively we just jumped back into bed and we're like, oh, shh, shh, shh. And then we sat there, and then like 2 seconds after, we looked at each other and we're like, oh, what the fuck? Because none had passed away, but we were just like, that was her.
We weren't
scared. We were like, it was like warm, you know what I mean? I was like, that was Nan telling us to stop fucking around.
Same thing happened to me, but it was my mum's mum. So it was a white lady, my grandmother. But not long after she died, I was laying in bed when we used to live at my first house in Hamilton. And I swear that I could hear her smoking at the end of the bed. Like I could just feel something down there.
Was it warm? Was it a warm feeling though?
I was grippy. Yeah. I just pulled the covers up there. I had to get up and ask mum. But just quickly before we finish that, but there was a mad one at Crewa. And when you used to walk from the main road back there, you used to go past the old dam. And all the old women used to go out there. The dam, they used to do all their washing on the lines between the trees and all that. But my cousins used to always talk, there's a dam dog. Big monster there, damn dog. And we used to go in the main street at night and walk at night. Then you'd walk back and it'd be pitch black. There was no street lights back then.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd just be, I remember one night I was walking with my cousin, and all of a sudden she's like, you just have to be careful because the damn dog's there. And you'll look out and there's going to be red eyes. And if you look him in the eyes, he's going to get you. And we'll just walk. And then she just screamed, the damn dog! And I was just like, what? And she started running in front of me. And I humped it, man. And like, it's just that feeling that there's a presence behind you and you're sprinting that fast. Yeah, yeah. And I still remember because I woke up the next day and had sore legs from running home that fast. Because we're barefoot too on the road. Yeah. Barefoot. Rah, the damn dog's going to get you. Oh,
my mum used to say my old fellas were real paranoid about that stuff because they were a bit religious and like, you know, bad spirits, that they used to put salt at the door so that demons wouldn't get in the house.
Salt or like a cup or a bowl of water.
Yes.
Yeah. Because the demon would just come have a sip of water then leave.
Yeah.
Instead of eating you.
Yeah, because they've been in hell and they're parched.
Okay. Fair enough.
We're gonna finish this app off with some words of wisdom. From yours truly.
Here we go.
So my words of wisdom today is never turn your back on a mission dog.
Yeah, that's fine. They're keen.
There's levels to it. Yeah.
There is.
You we could call you a mission dog.
You never know what's going to happen. You're going to get bit.